Emerson Show live from Portland. 503-733-2970. Rick, will I get a free drink at the next listener party if I show up with no panties or a shaved head or with a donkey? No. Well, the answer to that, well, maybe the donkey. Listener party 10. Isn't that right, donkey? That's genius. Well, it's got to be something good. It's got to be a name. Not that the other names are. I will say this. I don't know if we want to get bogged down to do all things. We've got to do the news. The top. That was weird. Did you hear that?
It always does that.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I never noticed that before.
Did what?
The thing did the pause. Did a deal there.
I noticed.
Okay. Anywho, we got the top five to do. Dennis is going to be here. We got a Ministry of Truth and so forth. I'm just going to say that it's going to be difficult to top the last listener part of that. They're kissing my ass. Really, I mean, it's the comma that made it. It's the kissing, comma, my ass, which is that it really is the apex. It really is the absolute pinnacle of a listener party name so far. Not that what happened to my pants didn't have a certain rough charm to it. But we are going to be hard-pressed to come up with a better name for Listener Party 10. So we unveiled that today. It's coming up Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. So be listening for more details on that. Rick Emerson, Listener Party 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Coming up Thursday, April 19th. The name, logo, all that stuff is still to be decided. And we are going to need your help on this one for reasons that we'll probably talk about more tomorrow. We'll probably discuss a little bit further tomorrow.
Does it involve heavy lifting?
Yeah, it may indeed. It depends. It can't really. It all depends, Tim Riley. These things are all up for grabs, as they say. All right. At the Ministry of Truth, ladies and gentlemen, he is your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Wow, the Portland Terrors make a lot of money. So far, writers yelled out nearly $33,000. They're only expecting $29,000. So people like riding on it. More than 125 have ridden the tram during its first month of operation. That's nearly twice the earlier projection.
That thing just seems like a headline waiting to happen.
It just seems like a new... Every time I drive underneath it, God bless it. I'm not hoping that things go wrong. I don't wish for anyone to die. I'm just saying every time I drive underneath that thing and I look up and there's those wires stretched from whatever the station down by the river all the way up to the hill... It just seems like a big disaster. And when it happens, everybody's going to say, I told you. When it happens, and so we're saying I told you now. Long
Superman will not arrive to catch it when it plunges to earth.
There will be no arachnid walking upright, yes, to spare your lives at the last moment. You're just going to die.
Okay, stop saying that, because you know what? You saying this means it's probably going to happen later on today, and then everyone's like, that kooky Rick Emerson, and then we'll be out of a job again.
Really? No, I'm saying it now before it's happened. They can't hold me responsible for coincidence. They would totally hold me responsible for coincidence. Well, I'm just saying it's sorry. I'm saying it's sad. And
they went to the lowest bidder.
We'll get this assembled by... what do you reckon? Next week?
Pick up the work crew at the Tijuana border.
I was just going to say, it's those same guys who run the Tilt-A-Whirl down in the park. When they're not trying to seduce underage girls. It's not really who it was. Those are stables for security purposes.
That may have happened.
Who knows? I don't even know who built that thing.
They hung that thing up really quick.
I'm just saying.
It arrived by mail. Next day it was up and running.
Build it yourself. Have you seen that? Speaking of things that are going to kill people someday, not that that's going to happen with the tram. Look, this is my final statement, because Sarah's giving me that mom. Are you okay? Is everything all right? We came back from break, and so you're looking at me askance.
Oh, no. I'm
something happened during the commercial break you'd like to talk to Uncle Rick about?
I don't think so.
All right, you sound a little nasal.
Yeah, exactly. All of a sudden, it kind of hit me then.
They have allergy tablets in the kitchen, but they're pointless.
Yeah,
you can do that. Yeah, the allergy tablets in the kitchen don't do anything, by the way, but you can take them if it'll make you feel better.
I think I'm reaching that point from that woman who died in that intercom contest where I think I've had too much water.
We're just kidding, folks. CBS.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
The good part about this tram is these patients are halfway to where they're getting anyway. They're already ill.
You're already on the way to the hospital.
Right.
At least it's kind of like getting in an accident on the way to the funeral home.
Oh, I thought it was for students. It's actually for transporting sick
right.
people.
Well, it's for anybody who needs to get up there.
They got a giant bedpan. Because that's what's going to happen when that thing shrinks.
That is the official assessment of the news department of CBS Radio Portland. The tram...
You hear the threads going swing, twang,
the
twang.
The tram is like a giant bedpan.
Because that's exactly what's going to happen when you're teetering from this thing and all these little strands are breaking like guitar strings.
We should totally have one of these sound engineers put together what it will sound like when the tram actually does snap and kill somebody.
Because
you're right, it'll totally be a lot of ding, bang.
I'm sure there's some Hanna-Barbera sound effect for that.
So, wait, let me see. I may have something. Hold on, let me look. Let's see. Where did my Hanna-Barbera sound go? I swear to God I had Hanna-Barbera sound. All right, well...
Oh, Scotty made you some, didn't he?
He did when Whatchisguts died. The guy in the tramp, no, when the Hanna-Barbera guy died. Well, in any event, I'll... oh, wait, here we go. One of these work for tram death sounds.
All right, let's try one.
Hold on.
Oh my God.
That's the part when it rolls down the hill.
That was almost scary.
Wait, look at the tram!
We're on fire!
I can't feel my legs anymore. Never fear, on the way to the hospital now.
There's nothing I can add. Not one thing in the world.
Well, that's our top story this hour.
I'm not even sure what the story is, but let's just plunge on ahead, shall we?
Beware the tram.
Beware the hideous banter snatch, also the tram. The cables that break, the cars that crash.
Extreme sport.
Tram ride. I'm like English majors in the house to note. Never mind.
Meanwhile, look for the presence of the former Beatle, Paul McCartney's estranged wife, helping Dancing with the Stars to its best premiere ratings ever. According to Nielsen Ratings, nearly 22 million viewers tuned in to see the lady with one leg.
Wait, what would that sound like? No, it doesn't work. It only works.
That sounded like the tram.
It only works for the tram. It doesn't work for Heather Mills' leg. I'm sorry.
So she brought in, 2 million more viewers than with people with two legs. The two-hour dancing broadcast was the most watched show of the night and earned ABC the largest overall audience for 8 to 10 in almost 15 years, as far as regularly scheduled non-network programming goes. Mills wears a prosthetic leg due to a motorcycle accident, and much is made of whether or not the leg would hold up during the competition.
What kind of hideous media do we have in this country?
Meanwhile, Dick Cheney back at work at the White House, cooking up some
fiendish plot. You can bet he is planning to drink the blood of children.
Mm-hmm. After recently being diagnosed with a potentially dangerous blood clot in the leg, he'll live through it, don't you worry. He had so much discomfort in his leg today.
He can't be killed.
Doctors at George Washington University Medical Center said Cheney has come in for a routine follow-up exam. According to Cheney's office, an ultrasound revealed no extension or complication of the blood clot. Cheney remains on blood-thinning medication. He's 66 and has a history of heart problems.
We are grateful for his continued good health.
You bet.
Oh, Kathy was going to talk about the... I hope she wasn't on it. That was Kathy calling about the tram. Well, let's hope she wasn't up there. It's 503-733-2970. Here is Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, from Florida comes word, a modified marquee in Atlantic Beach has been growing some attention.
What?
Hoo-haws replaced a word in the title of a play about a driver complaining about finding the previous wording offensive. The marquee for Atlantic Theaters advertised for a number of plays, including The Masquerade Ball, Band Jam, and now the Hoo-Ha Monologues. Some said hoo-ha is a strange word, and that its definition depends on the context. Others said it sounds like a country band. Hoo-has.
I didn't understand anything in that story.
Well, it's in Florida.
Okay. Let's do one more here, and then we'll...
Hillary Clinton should take off her trousers, says Versace. I didn't think he was around anymore. Maybe it's a different Versace. Hillary Clinton should
Zombie
tap into
Versace.
Her feminine side and wear dresses and skirts instead of trousers, said Donatella Versace. I can understand trousers are comfortable, but she's a woman, and she should be allowed to show that.
I don't like women in pantsuits.
She should treat femininity as an opportunity and not try to emulate masculinity in politics.
Yeah, because Hillary's all about femininity. Hillary's all about being a delicate flower of womanhood.
Skirts should reach the knee and be worn with a short jacket or a coat. The best color would be black, rather than the blue Clinton currently favors. I admire her for her determination, and it will successfully take her to the White House, says Versace.
And this is who, Versace?
Donatella.
Is that the wife?
Her girlfriend? I'm not sure.
Is Donatella a woman, Sarah?
Yeah, she's a woman.
Oh, yeah, she's that freakish-looking woman with the long blonde hair and her face looks like a Muppet.
Not the cat lady.
No, but she looks... Yeah, she's really tan, really long, straight, blonde hair.
Was she the widow of Gianni Versace or something?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
You know her. I've posted many pictures of her on my blog.
So not...
She's just freakish looking.
You know her. So you may know me from such... So not zombie Versace. That's really all I...
Right.
It was the only joke I had.
Okay.
Don't wear pleats. Kathy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, I was calling and I realized that when I was looking at the tram myself, I think they should paint it white and in giant red letters Tylenol across it so it would look like an actual pill.
Here's the thing. You need to know that no one can understand anything you're saying right now. Could you? Your phone's a little muffly. Hold on.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Good. I think they should paint the tram into a giant Tylenol so it will actually look like a pill going to Pill Hill.
Oh, that's a good idea. That actually is a pretty funny idea.
A Tylenol, yeah.
They could paint the other one in like a massive suppository.
Are you...
And then right as it goes into the garage, then the whole thing just to see? That's what I... Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I need a pill. I'm trying.
Okay. Have you ridden on the tram yet?
No, I haven't. I don't want to pay the price to go up there.
You don't want to... No, you don't want to pay that price, Kathy.
It's $4 there and back?
Yeah, well, maybe. That's not the price we're referring to, but yes, that is what...
Yeah, I don't want to fall on the houses. I think of that every day when I drive underneath it myself.
Seriously.
It's an uneasy feeling.
And the fact that it was already broken...
It won't hit you.
It'll be quick for you, not so much for the others. Not so much for the many houses that it rolls through on its way down the hill towards its unholy rendezvous with the river. The thing...
Armed.
What?
Hello?
Hi, what's that?
Armored truck.
What's going on in your life, Kathy?
I drive an armored truck.
That's pretty cool. Do you carry a gun?
Yes.
What kind of a gun, if you can tell me?
Glock.
A Glock? Really? A pistol? A Glock?
That's about all I'll say.
Is it, if I guess correctly, will you tell me, is it a Glock 9?
Yeah, pretty close.
That's damn impressive. Have you ever... I'm not asking if you've ever shot somebody, but have you ever had to fire it on the job?
It would have to be a really serious situation. It would have to be somebody threatening my life.
That is so... Do you kind of... obviously, you don't hope that it happens, but did they train you to use it? Have you gone out to, like, firing ranges and they taught you
very
how to...
Very much so, yes. That very, very extensive training, yes.
That is so... You'll forgive me for saying this, Kathy. That is so hot. That really is just unbelievably hot. You have no idea. All right, excellent. Well, thank you so much, Kathy. You stay safe.
Have fun.
You call us, yes. Call us if you ever have to shoot that.
Oh, definitely.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
All right, there you go. That's Kathy. That's the hottest thing ever. And it's close to a Glock 9. I don't know a whole lot about guns. I know a little bit about a little bit, as they say. But, all right. Let's see. This is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm Dandy. What's up?
Oh, hey. I'm a student at OHSU, and I have to ride the tram every day. And you know how you say, oh, it's going to fall? You know, you're not the first one to say that. We're, like, riding the tram, and it can fit, like, 72 people on it in one time. And there were, like, 60 people, and we're like, oh, it's kind of swinging. And when you go over that tower, and it's moving, it swings, like, 2 or 3 meters.
Somebody told me that when it goes over the hump, when it goes over the little hump of the tower, they said that's the freakiest part because...
That's probably the part that it would most likely dislodge.
If it snaps, Mike, that's where it's going to happen, probably, so you know.
The funniest thing is the tram operator, you know, everybody's kind of talking on the tram, and all of a sudden the tram operator goes, hey, everybody stop! It's going to swing! Okay, it's done.
Well, I mean, at least you can be sort of zen about it. It's not like a car where it's under your control. This is entirely out of your hands. The rest of
Hindenburg, really.
I go to class in the new building, and yeah. Right out of our classroom window, we can see them going back and forth every day. And from our angle, it looks like they're going to crash into each other every time they go. So
how many? Does that run all day and all night?
It runs from like 6 a.m. to like 10 p.m. So it goes. The scariest part about the tram is when you get up towards the hill, you are a good, I'd say, like 20, 30 stories up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The good news is that's probably enough to kill you on impact.
I can hope so.
If it's any lower, you'll just be crippled.
Oh, I want to fall on I-5, anything.
Yeah, well,
news.
If it seats 20 people, do they linger around, do people socialize? They're like a bar, refreshments?
Yeah, that's true. What is it like in there? Do you have to stand up?
You have to stand up. They have seats on the side that you can pull down, you know, and I don't know. They should just, like, stop it in the middle and start a casino there because it just kind of feels like that atmosphere.
Have they ever had to, because I know this one time, because this is the thing that freaks me out about the trial. All kidding aside, the thing that freaks me out is that one time it was, like, broken because of a breeze. Like, wasn't that just, like, a month and a half ago? There was, like, a wind, and it was, like, stuck in the middle because of wind.
Spark shooting out of it.
Yeah. When it comes into the bay, it's got bumpers because the wind's actually blowing it, and it's swinging back side to side. It'll hit the bumpers back and forth. It has to come in like really slow. It goes really fast over everything, and then it comes in really slow. And they're like, "It's gonna hit the bumpers. It's perfectly normal." I'm like, "There's nothing normal about that."
Screw that. There's no way. F it. I'll take the bus. All right. God, you're a braver soul than I am, Mike. Thank you, sir.
See ya.
So what happens if there's like a Rubenesque person on one side and a Twiggy-type person on the other side?
That's a good question.
Swing back and forth.
Oh, that's scary.
What if we should totally get like a really fat person?
No, we should not.
Up there and then see how far we can rock it from
jump
side
up and
to
down
side.
On the seats.
Seriously, I wonder how far you could get it swinging if you had people on one side of it just jumping up and down like in synchronization. I wonder how much of a swing you could really get going on that thing. We should find out. Let's do one more. And then we'll take a break. Karen, hi.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Well, a couple of things. One, Gianni Versace never had a wife. Donatella is his sister.
Oh, I see. Is that how it was?
Yeah, and she's his sister.
All right.
And the other thing is, do you remember a movie? It was probably late 50s, early 60s. It was called The Crawling Eye.
I do remember The Crawling Eye, yes.
And it was a cloud with one-eyed octopus in it. That was from outer space, supposedly.
Right.
And that's what it did was it came across and got one of those gondolas.
I don't even remember that. Really?
Yes. Yeah. It was up in the Swiss Alps or whatever, and it was a ski lodge, and they were heading up to the ski lodge, and it enveloped the whole gondola.
The Crawling Eye, I think, ended up being a Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode, which is maybe where I know it from.
Oh, I'm sure it did. It's as campy as you can get.
All right. I think also, have you seen the movie The Iron Giant?
No, I don't think so.
The Iron Giant, which is one of the five... Tim, have you seen The Iron Giant?
I have not. No.
Good God, man! Really?
That's correct, yes.
I'm sorry. I'm busy being flabbergasted.
Is it playing locally?
No, it's... All right. Well, there's a movie called The Iron Giant, which is genius. I'll leave it at that. But they reference the Crawling Eye in there.
Oh,
there's a kid watching TV, and he's watching the Crawling Eye. So, all right, be listening for my long dissertation about the Iron Giant.
Absolutely.
All right.
Every time I see those gondolas, that movie comes right into my mind.
Oh, no, it's nothing but bad. All right, thank you, Karen. How
You're
long
welcome.
Before that happened to you? I like how the crap just cuts off at the end. That's the best part. All right. So break here. We'll come back. We'll pay a final visit to the Ministry of Truth. We'll talk to Dennis Pitzenbarger, and we'll count on the top five Jane songs. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, when the trams inevitably snap and plunge down into the houses below, the news story will inevitably be called To Catch a Tram. Funny stuff. Keep it coming. 503-733-2970. Dennis Pinsberger. Hello, sir. Hi there.
How you doing?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Exciting week in auto racing for all of us that are racing fans.
I was just thinking that.
I'm sure. And tram deaths, you know.
Yeah, well, no tram deaths here. Awareness. Not yet.
And obviously me being the, I guess I could have my own little sitcom, The Retarded Gardener.
Oh. Like the constant gardener, but with drool. All right, we'll talk more in a second. We'll help you, help us with the top five here. Just for you. Let's pay a final visit to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Tram death, our newest epidemic. Seriously, 9 people, including 6 children, so it's not funny when children died, and 10 were injured when a 750-kilogram concrete block is accidentally dropped by a construction helicopter in Austria onto a tram. Hundreds had to be evacuated from that lift. There was a crash of a cabin in Grünberg, the aerial tramway in Austria, and many were hurt back in 2004. Then cable breaks. And 23 people are injured in Neuenblom in Europe. 20 people were killed in the crash of an aerial tramway at the Brühl Observatory in the French Alps. And I remember this one. 1998, the U.S. military aircraft severs the cables of a tram in Italy, killing 20 people.
Good God.
And, of course, they got away with it because, well, we are Americans. We do really well. The latest one from New York was the Roosevelt Island Tramway experiencing a power failure, leaving 69 passengers and 2 trams stranded over the East River for 7 hours. There's no way to be rescued. No way out. Just 8 months after a similar incident in which trams were stranded for some 90 minutes, no injuries or fatalities at that one. So American trams are safer than the European ones.
If you're stranded over the East River, I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing they can do.
Right.
Make
the most of it.
Eat one of your fellow passengers. Yeah, that's it. Well, and somebody's noted that those trams are sealed. They're sealed because they don't want you to be able to leap to your death and whatnot. So they're all sealed. So somebody hurls in there, that's what you're going to go home smelling like. That's
if you're
it.
Trapped in there?
Or if you're trapped in there. You're going to go home reeking of...
running out of oxygen.
Fear and stool. Yeah, reeking of fear and stool and gradual asphyxiation. All right. There you go. Fantastic. So trams are going to kill us all. Trams and cancer and garbage disposal.
Well, I think aircraft and helicopter pose the greatest danger.
What is it? Well, I don't understand that. When the helicopter dropped a giant piece of concrete on a tram?
Yeah.
That's almost impressive. I mean, really.
Well, it may have been taunting the helicopter for all of this.
If I could speak in a metallic voice like Vin Diesel, come get me. First of all, because that's a moving target.
Yeah.
Secondly, because it's, you know, concrete isn't really easily aimed, I would think.
Well, all right. So there you go. So,
I don't mean to be like Tommy Boyish about that, but that is awesome.
It's Dennis Pitzenbarger. Police said tram deaths are awesome. Rick Emerson Show values most human life. Most of it. Yeah. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, that's enough for me. I don't think I can possibly top that. If you're in the tram, just a matter of time.
There you go. There you go. Thank you. Oh, I'm trying to. And now on with the program. Oh, that's my fault. It's like the 50-ton crash at the
only
end.
$4 for a round trip.
Or a one-way trip, depending. It's 503-733-2. I wonder how much it costs to take the tram just right into Clyde's house. How much to take the tram to Whitaker Street, please?
That's why they call it Spill Hill.
Spill Hill. Kill Hill. That's what it'll be called afterwards. I'm calling dibs on that right now. Calling it Kill Hill on this show.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a KGW news article.
They called it Kill Hill. It's 503-733-2970, Dennis Pitzenbarger. So what is going on in racing? There's things?
Well, it's no big deal. I mean, it's just Car Tomorrow debuts for NASCAR in Bristol this weekend. If you're a racing fan and you watch the 12 Hours of Sebring, which is a really... beloved race by auto racing fans, and it was just some of the best racing ever. We have a friend of the program from Flying Lizard Motorsports. He was in what was the closest finish in the history of the event ever. These two cars, it was a racing Porsche and a racing Ferrari banging up against each other all the way to the very finish. It's kind of dirty racing, but it was just incredible. If you go to thefuelshow.com, you can see the little, I put the footage up there so you can watch it. Much like I'm waiting to go to Rick Emerson after this show to watch people in a tram plunge to their death.
I'm trying to get that footage up. Aaron sent me the video of a tram death in Australia.
Are you serious?
Don't go there. I'm going to hold you down and make Clockwork Orange style.
I have to because you're going to talk about it.
You don't even want to know what I watched last night. You don't even want to know this hideous video that I saw last night on the internet. It's so bad.
It's was it worse than that Santa and Elf thing
Aaron's in? I saw this video last night that is the worst thing I have ever seen on the internet. I wasn't going to talk about it today. What are you pointing at yourself for?
I was wondering if it was the thing that I brought up earlier today.
What?
The Lord of Rock.
The Gene Simmons thing? No, we talked about that. That picture's... Oh. No, dude. That's a cakewalk compared to this.
Can you give any kind of description? You shouldn't have brought it up if you weren't going to talk about it.
And by the way, I wasn't going to talk about this today. And I have to be very circumspect about this because we are family. I don't wish to work blue. We're a family radio program. This is Seamus's fault. Our listener, Seamus. This is his fault.
We can blame the guy out of state.
It's his fault because on my MySpace last night, why did this even happen? Somebody had made a Christopher Reeve joke. That amazingly enough, is not the tasteless portion of the story. Somebody had made a Christopher Reeve joke and about being afraid of horses. Seamus had noted, Seamus had referenced that guy, I think his name was Kevin Pinion. He is the reason that Tom Likas will sometimes take people out Enum Claw style. Do you remember us having the story about the postal guy delivering mail through a tiny slot? Being taken out Enum Claw style is a reference to, and this is a news story now. I am now referencing a news story. This is a news story that was reported in the Seattle Times about a guy named, I believe his name was Kevin Pinion. And he has his own Wikipedia entry, which I think Seamus linked to. And he was a man who died of a perforated colon after engaging in an unnatural act with a stallion. And when I say stallion, I don't mean like a swarthy Italian man. I mean he was engaging in an unnatural act with a stallion. And suddenly it was a lot of, hey, hey, why are my insides leaking? And now I'm dead. Anyway, so sometimes you'll hear Tom take someone out Enum Claw style. And what that means is it's just a lot of, like, grunting and whinnying. And then a guy going, oh! And then the horse running away. Somebody who apparently had read Seamus's entry about this guy, I think his name is Kevin Pinney, and there's a documentary about him that premiered and played at Sundance this year called Zoo. I swear to God, it was like one of the winners at Sundance this year. It's called Zoo. It's a documentary about this farm in Enum Claw, which was apparently where people of this persuasion were able to go and engage in said illicit congress with God's creatures. Somebody who had read Seamus's entry about this, and he did what they all do, and I keep falling for it. Like B.A. Baracus tricked into getting on a plane, I keep falling for it. Here's the thing about this guy, Kevin Pinion, and his Enum Claw style. He apparently, when he would go to visit the stallion at this farm, he had an accomplice who would go along with him and take home footage of said encounters.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'll
come back. How long have you worked on this
show?
Of course I know that. Okay. Like when you asked me if I had tram death footage. Okay. Of course I have.
Continue.
There's video footage of him engaging in Congress with this very large horse. And somebody who had read Seamus's entry
then found one of these video clips on the net and sent it to me labeled, what? What are they all labeled? Britney Spears. Why? Because that's what gets me to open
stuff. They were labeled nude Britney Spears.
No, and it was just like labeled Britney, and so it's me. Well, I guess I'll watch it. And so it was me clicking on it last night. You don't know from horrifying. You don't know what horrifying is. I have been to the dark side. I have seen things that no man should see. It's so unbelievably wrong on every... I mean, it's so often on this program we refer to things as being horrible or traumatic, scarring. You don't know. You do not know like I know about... So I'd like to thank whoever sent... And by thank, I mean F you, whoever sent that to me. You bastard. So whatever you do, and I really mean this, sometimes we'll say, whatever you do, be sure not to, and clearly that's just an inducement to do it. I'm telling you now, you don't want to go researching it, and if somebody sends you a clip that you even think might be, don't, you will thank me. You will thank me for this warning.
Did the horse get its name in the credits?
I don't know.
How much of it did you watch?
It was only like, 5 seconds long, 10 seconds long, maybe. And it wasn't very long. It's like, you know.
It's not enough, like, as you're flailing to try and, you know, grab the mouse to stop
it. Well, it's the thing where you can't quite figure out what it is. Because,
is it, like, fuzzy? I mean, could you clearly see what was going on?
Well,
or was it a thing where you had to, like,
no,
you're,
the,
like,
the resolution
start to focus
is really,
in?
The resolution is really good. Like, clearly, this had been made to put to post to some news group for people with a similar interest. That's not the reason you can't really tell what it is. The reason is because you're opening it thinking it's Britney Spears. Like, you'll hear these stories. You know those statues on Easter Island, those huge stone heads on Easter Island? You'll hear these stories because the people who lived on Easter Island for a long time were not the same people who made the stone heads. The stone heads were there when the Easter Island people arrived there via boat or whatever. And so you'll hear these stories from anthropologists about how the people who lived on Easter Island got to the island and there are these massive stone head statues that are like 200 feet high. And they couldn't fathom how they could have come to exist, so they just decided that they weren't there. That's how the tribe dealt with it. Like, they couldn't fathom, you know, how they were very primitive people.
Kind of like when the ships were coming in and like... I've heard that, like, Native Americans in there, that they couldn't see the ships because they'd never seen anything like it before.
Yeah, they couldn't process it, and so therefore they just couldn't see it. You know? Like, they couldn't imagine it, so by dint of that, they weren't there. What do you see? There's nothing there, because they couldn't process it. That's me last night. So I open this video, Britney Spears, hurrah! Open it, and then I just can't, there's nothing. I'm like, I can't figure it. Well, there's nothing. I can't seem to, because... Why would you ever expect for it to be that?
Are you looking past what's going on the screen and looking for Britney?
What are you looking past it? There's no looking past it. It's filling the whole frame. It's a horse.
I'm trying to understand. Well, obviously the horse would fill the whole frame. I'm trying to figure out what made you look past it.
There's nothing to look past. I'm just trying to figure out, I'm like, well, what is this? It's all dark. Is that an arm? Something's going on.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, in one blinding flash of horror, you know, you kind of do the, no! You know, and then you realize, and then by that point, you're like 15 seconds into it, and you realize what's, you know, and then it's too late. Then you've seen it. So, I wasn't even going to talk about that today, and yet,
there you go.
Okay. Very
really disturbing.
Thanks, Seamus. Thanks for that. Dick.
All right.
Back, let's take a break. Back after this, Dennis Pritzenbarger from The Fuel Show. It's The Rick Emerson Show. Like us next. Donna Mike at 7. You say that The Rick Emerson Show continues after this. Making sure the horse doesn't kick. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. We're here with Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Fuel Show. Did you say you're driving a brand new Cadillac?
I am driving a brand new 2007 Cadillac STS.
Now, is that... Now, they don't make... And I mean this... I don't mean this as a pejorative. They don't make Cadillacs the way they used to, meaning Cadillacs aren't the big... They're not huge anymore.
Like No. The STS is like a mid-size sedan. Cadillac has gone through a complete rebirth of quality, and just they're just a driver's car again. Cadillac was such a strength in the auto industry for so long, and then they kind of lost their luster in the 80s, along with every other American-made car. It's so nice to see Cadillac, a real icon of American automobiles, come back in strength. So, I mean, I can't wait to drive the car. I just got it today. It's $51,000. It's a lot of money for a car, but I mean, it's got, I mean, if you name it, it's got it. Power this, heated that. I mean, it's just an incredible machine. I can't wait to get in and drive it on the highway.
And then you got now, is it, Don and Mike, I don't know a lot about racing, but Don and Mike were talking about this race, I think it was last week. What was the race where the two guys were bumping each other, and it was like they're on the same team? It's like an unspoken rule that you don't bump the guy who's on your own team.
Well, there was two guys. One was the Flying Lizards team, and right, they were going up against the Ferrari team. It's GT2. It's the 12 hours of Sebring. It's a 12-hour endurance race, and when you're talking about, I mean, guys commonly refer to like NASCAR as that kind of bumping and running. It's
right.
NASCAR, there's a lot of, the cars are kind of crashing, not crashing each other, but they're kind of slapping along the side.
It's rough racing. It's rougher racing,
as they say, rubbing is racing. In this type of racing, these are Porsche 911s or Ferrari 430s that are $300,000-$400,000 cars that are considered kind of a gentleman's racing, that they don't slam into each other when they're trying to get position on the track. It comes down to these guys have been racing for 12 hours. I mean, you know, they're worn out. They've been going at it for 12 hours on the racetrack, and coming down to the last two or three laps, this guy pulls what is considered and has basically riffed throughout the automotive racing industry or the world. Is this guy just comes down the last lap and just starts ramming into the other guy to knock him into the infield wall to get to the finish line to win.
Right.
And he looks at the camera and just goes, well, I got, he was in my way. You know, he's like, of course he was.
What
like,
did he do?
Well, no, he's like full on, like right out of, the NASCAR movie, Talladega Nights. You know, he's French. He's like, he was in my way, so I bumped him out of the way. And now this guy, I mean, he might as well just get the tar and feathers himself, because everybody else in the racing community now kind of is scoffing at this guy ever entering another race, because to him, he won the race. He interviewed the guys. Now, what's kind of cool is we're going to have a live interview with both the guys from the car that was bumped out of the way this weekend. One guy will be live. Another guy I'm going to talk to tomorrow here in the studio. And it's just amazing to get these guys' perspective on that kind of racing. It was the closest finish in automobile racing history for the American Le Mans Series. So,
yeah, Don and Mike they did like 20, 25 minutes. They talked about what an ass this guy was. He French, you say?
Well, I mean, yeah,
some foreigner. They just went on about like what a bastard they thought he was, and he was just like being a dick about the whole thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, people
don't do that.
I'll take the lumps for NASCAR. It is a bunch of crazy, you know. I mean, I wouldn't say rednecks, but it's a crazy bunch of country boys in cars going fast, trying to get to the finish line,
right,
and that's what makes it fun. This type of racing is considered kind of a more gentlemanly type racing, so you don't expect them to do that. But I mean, it was just great racing. It'll be really interesting to hear what they say, considering they were at the wheel of the car when the, as they put it, air quotes, the incident happened.
By the way, I'd like to thank you for giving me this hideous Gene Simmons picture here.
Oh, I saw that in the morning, and it looked like somebody put a knee in the back of his head, grabbed his ears, went for it.
Right there, this picture on the website. It's just the worst. It looks like a shrunken head of a fat Asian woman.
But what did you say when I handed that to you? You were like,
I don't even remember. I was just so horrified. It's like we're back to the Easter Island statue. She was on the horse video game. I'm like, what? I can't see anything. It's Gene Simmons who, I mean, there's like 100 things wrong with this picture of Gene Simmons. You can see this at rickemerson.com, by the way. And this is from the Family Jewels. I say giving him exactly what he wants, which is all this publicity.
He counts our money.
Seriously, the Gene Simmons, the Family Jewels premiere, which is Sunday, the 25th on A&E. But I guess he and Shannon Tweed have, like, plastic surgery at the same time or whatever, but they lit the camera. Plastic surgery is revolting. If you watch, I mean, not, I don't have anything against people getting it, but I mean, the actual process, if you watch the Discovery Channel and you see people getting plastic surgery done.
Oh, it's hideous.
Oh, I can't watch that when they are, like, shoving tubes into someone.
The liposuction. That's what that is. The fat vacuum.
So wrong.
It's like a long meat thermometer. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
Looks like a law, or like one of those things they use, like those brooms to reach hard to reach areas in your ceiling. It's like a Swiffer kind of a thing. It's like a real long, thin Swiffer handle, and it just goes underneath your epidermis, and they're just like, oh, hold on, I got. It's like one of those. It's like a rug rake.
you know, back and forth, except it's like underneath your ass or whatever.
It's just amazing when you watch that happen, the way that the doctor like gets up on you, like knee in the sternum,
oh,
and like starts working the thing over.
I know. Oh. Well, that's like we've those stories we've had about people getting their wisdom teeth out, where the doctor's like got his knee in your rib cage and he's like, oh, like having to crank on the tooth.
I have definitely one of the worst wisdom teeth stories ever. I don't even double impacted, like chisel in the mouth.
What does that mean, impacted?
It's if you imagine the roots of your teeth go straight down.
Right.
Mine hooked outward both sides. They basically had to put a chisel in my mouth and then break my tooth with a hammer in half and then pull them out piece by piece. So, yeah. And then they gave me, like, third-degree burn patient pills, and I felt no pain.
Fantastic.
Well, no, I want to say, have you watched that show?
Family Jewels? I saw, like, one episode, but that was about it.
I would think you'd be totally into watching that.
I have a hard time with reality programming. I love Gene Simmons, but reality, like, that's what made Rockstar Supernova so exceptional, was that I was able to watch it. Reality programming, it bugs me. I have a difficult time with it.
It's not as bad as some, and it's certainly better of the bunch, but watching that show is really interesting to see the interaction between Shannon Tweed and Gene Simmons. Right. The way that he, still after all these years, I mean, he is just absolute finger to the world, do it my way, and you'll pay along the way.
Well, you know, he's doing a college lecture series right now.
I'd probably pay to see
it. Which I think it's called Speaking in Tongues, I think, but it's a whole lot of, like, how to make money and become famous. And it's a pretty good impression. Well, you know, who else are you going to listen to? I mean, that's a guy you can't. You know what? You can't say anything about that guy.
Well, you know, 1974. Let's see. I'll follow Gene Simmons or Ace Frehley.
He's a guy that he is the American dream in many ways. He's the embodiment. I don't even know what they would do to you, though. I'm looking at this picture of him. I don't even know what they would do to you that you would look like this.
I think, getting his eyes done, right?
He got his eyes done. If by done you mean punched repeatedly in the face, I mean, is that what that's about?
I don't know.
Did he get his the bags removed or something? It's just so wrong. And
I
want to
look like my grandmother.
And then he gets seriously, can you make me an old Vietnamese woman? And then he's got these, like, pus-collecting bags underneath him.
Oh, God.
That's no good.
Can you move my hairline back by my ear?
I'd like to be dipped in grease, please. Good God. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm all for people doing, I mean this, I'm all for people doing whatever they want to do to feel good about themselves, but...
Oh, God.
I would think the fact that he's married to Shannon Tweed and the fact that he's, you know, Gene Simmons would be feeling good enough, you know?
Well, that's why he doesn't care about a picture like that.
Why would you have plastic surgery if you were, you know...
How old is he now?
He's 53.
Yeah. Can I make one little tiny...
Real quick.
Road to the Cure celebration is at the Grey Gables Estate. It is an MDA event, and we are going to be involved in it. If you'd like to get some information about that, go to thefuelstore.com. It's a really good thing for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. The show is going to be involved, and we're supporting it 100%.
There you go, thefuelstore.com, this Saturday, 9 to 11. We're going to see CNN radio correspondents Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, and Steve Captain Baum. Rick Emerson show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, our PA is Scotty J. Dave Zinn is the gatekeeper. Don't forget, Rick Emerson Listener Party 10 happens April 19th. Be listening for details. Like us next. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. As always, thank you for listening. All the best. You're going to be safe. See you tomorrow. Bye now. Ah, it's looking for the horse, Winnie. I couldn't find it.